So today's Torah portion marks the end of Jacob's and Joseph's story, and also the end of the first book of the Torah, Bereshit, Genesis. This chapter is full of all kinds of prophecies, some of which I would like to consider today. So this Torah chapter begins with the fact that the elderly Jacob asks to bring his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph, to him. And thank you, Alex, for reminding us this story, which is a great story. I know that in many Jewish families, the youngest one is the most favored one. I'm the youngest. I know it. Then Jacob commands that from that time, after that blessing, the sons of Joseph should be reckoned as the sons of Jacob. Not as the grandsons, but as the sons of Jacob, which is a miracle. Jacob blesses Manasseh and Ephraim and gives Ephraim the priority in the blessing, although he was younger than Manasseh. At the same time, a remarkable prophecy is proclaimed, which speaks of many nations who will descend from Ephraim. Verse 19 says that Jacob put Ephraim above Manasseh. I would like to read Bereshit, Genesis 48, verse 19. One verse. By the way, we'll go through many places of Scripture today, so be prepared. Bereshit 48, verse 19. But his father refused and said, I know that, my son, I know it. He too will become a people, and he too will be great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will grow into many nations. Let us say together, many nations. Many nations. We know that later the prophets, speaking about the people of Israel, sometimes used the name Ephraim in many places of scriptures. So can you imagine right here, of all the children of Jacob, all of them, the youngest one, begins to play a unique role in his family and the future of the Jewish people, the youngest one. We know that Joseph's entire life was the prophecy about the Messiah, and amid this, the story of the blessing of Ephraim looks fascinating. It is a great story. If you remember, a few weeks ago we talked about a very important topic. The Lord blesses a person not because of his position in society or his family origin, but because of his trust and faith in the Lord. Yeah, the Lord sometimes do everything upside down. The youngest becomes the first, the elder becomes to be the second one, which is a great story here. It reminds me of Yeshua's parable in Matthew chapter 20 about the workers in the vineyard, which ends with verse 16. And if you will open with me, Matthew 20, 16. It is a great verse of the scriptures. Matthew 20, 16. Very short, but very, very significant verse. So the last will be first, and the first last. It doesn't mean we need to come at the service later. It is about different things here. It is about different things here. So please come at the time. In his parable, Yeshua tells us about salvation by grace through faith. If you will read all the parable, you will understand it. That everyone has the opportunity to inherit God's blessing, forgiveness, and eternal life. Even the last ones can be participating in the, with the first ones in the great gifts of the Lord. And also, the parable tells us about a special place for Gentiles, people from other nations who come to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob later than the Jewish people. Still, they share the same blessings and inheritance of the Lord on an equal basis with the Jewish people. Such a great news for all the nations of the world. So let us go back to Genesis 49. Later, Jacob calls all his sons and proclaims their future. It was the prophetic moment in the life of Israel. Among all the other blessings that the father spoke to his sons, I would like to highlight the word for Judah. So let us open Genesis 49, verse 10. So this verse presents us with the prophecy about the coming Messiah. It is a messianic prophecy. It is so important for us as the messianic community to remember this prophecy. I would call it Gospel from James. Not King James, but Yaakov. Good news from Yaakov. Genesis 49:10. The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come. To him will be the obedience of the peoples. Genesis 49:10. What I found fascinating and interesting that the English translation of this verse from the Torah is not entirely complete and does not reveal the whole meaning of this word, of this chapter, of this verse. So I want to use the Orthodox Jewish Bible translation today, and it's very interesting. I would like to read it in this translation. The Shevet, or scepter, shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Remember this word, Shiloh. And unto him shall be the obedience of the Amim, peoples, nations of the world. To him, to this one, Shiloh. Until Shiloh come. There is no common understanding about the origin and meaning of the word Shiloh. It is an old Hebrew word. But most commentators point out that it is about the Messiah. It is him who named Shiloh in this place of the scripture. I want to cite a few most common ones. So the first one, the famous Jewish commentator of the Torah, Rashi, writes that the origin of the word Shiloh is unknown. But surely, with no doubts, unequivocally states that it is about the Messiah. It is only about the Messiah. Some commentators claim that the word comes from the Hebrew root shalev, which means peaceful. Peaceful. And we can find the word peace also can be derived from this root. In other words, the Messiah is the conciliator, Shiloh, conciliator, peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. Shiloh also can be translated from Hebrew as He who it is. He who it is. So with this in mind, remember Shiloh, peacemaker, conciliator, Prince of Peace. With this in mind, let's read this verse together. Until he comes, he who is peacemaker, conciliator, Prince of Peace, and the obedience of the nations to him. Wow. It is an ancient prophecy from Jacob. Яков. Wow. I don't know how about you, but my faith is always growing when I read these things in the scriptures. My faith in Messiah is always growing when I read this. Here we find a fascinating prophecy about many nations and peoples from different tribes who will obey the one who is to come, the Messiah. It is the straight prophecy about it. You know, one of the statements of Orthodox Judaism is that faith in Yeshua is only for Gentiles. The Jews do not believe in Jesus. Have you ever heard this statement? I heard many times. Which is not true because I believe in Jesus. As an argument, they cite that Christians are mostly not Jews, which means that this is the faith of Gentiles and not Jews. Because mostly Christians are not Jews. But the prophecy we just read says that through the peacemaker, conciliator, the Messiah, through Shiloh, many people from all the tribes of the earth will come to faith and obedience to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And all the nations will obey him. I don't know. It is so good, so great. This is exactly what happened during the first Messianic revival 2,000 years ago when many people from other tribes became part of the Jewish Messianic communities. Amen. And you know what? After so many years, so many centuries, this is also our vision from the Lord. Today, it is our vision. One of the Jewish Messianic synagogue's main goals is that Jews and non-Jews can worship and serve God in one accord, together. Let us say together. It is a blessing for us. We are called to reach many nations of this world with the good news of the God, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is one of the tasks of the Jewish Messiah in Jacob's prophecy. He says, when Shiloh comes, many nations will come and obey him. Conciliator or peacemaker, one of the titles of the Messiah, and in the book of the prophet Isaiah, he is called Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. So let us open Isaiah chapter 9. This is one of my favorite prophetic places in the scriptures. One of my favorite. Actually, it is right in the time. What kind of holiday will have 25th of December in America? So it's a perfect place of the scriptures. Remember about this place of the scripture from the scriptures. Isaiah 9, verse 5. So, and please, can you open with me? Because, you know, maybe my translation is wrong. You will be more correct. You can follow me and look for yourself and believe for yourself. Not because I believe, but because you can find it in the scriptures. So, verse 5. For to us a child is born. Nothing supernatural. A child is born. It's a regular, normal thing. But let us read about this child. A son will be given to us. It's a normal thing. I have a son. It's a good. But the next thing. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name, this baby, this son, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, My Father of Eternity. What a child. What a child. Mighty God, My Father of Eternity. Prince of Peace, Prince of Shalom. He who owns peace, who can fill us with His shalom. He is the only one who can bring peace into our hearts, no one else. The peace of the Lord, only He can give it to us. And we need the peace from the Lord. We need to be in His peace, especially today in 2021. And I believe we will need His peace in 2022. What do you think? Or He will come maybe in 2020, I don't know, we'll see. But it's a great thing. Remember the words from Matthew 11:28. I just want to read it. Come to me. It's Yeshua's words. Come to me. And remember, He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You know the truth. I can't give you peace. I don't have this ability to give you peace. I can't forgive your sins. It's not up to me. But I know the one who can, who is the Prince of Peace. And my role, my job is to present Him to you so you can come to Him and He can fill your heart with His peace, with His joy, and with His forgiveness. Yes. Come to me, He says, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. We need His rest. We need His rest. So, next verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. At the same prophecy, His name, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and shalom, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and uphold it through justice and righteousness from now until forevermore. The zeal of Adonai Tzevaot will accomplish it. Again, I would like to pick only one thing from this prophecy right now, important. We find the prophecy that the Messiah's authority and power will spread to all ends of the earth because He will establish the kingdom of David on this earth. It speaks of the faith and obedience of other nations. It is again the prophecy about the Messiah who will reach all the nations of the world. Next verse, verse 7. One of the most prophetic verses in the scriptures. Adonai sent a word to Jacob. Let's say together, sent a word to Jacob. And it fell upon Israel. He sent it to Jacob, and it fell upon Israel. The word of God is another name of the Messiah. Please think about this idea. He sent it to Jacob, and it came upon Israel. Do you remember the name of Israel? What does it mean? One who is fighting together with the Lord. Or who has the power. The word of God is another name of the Messiah. And we can find about the coming of the Word of God in John 1:14. I would like to read it. John 1:14. Here's the fulfillment of that prophecy. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. We looked upon His glory, the glory of the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeshua, the Word of God. Fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah. Such a profound and exciting prophecy came through Jacob that today you and I can strengthen our faith in our Messiah, the Conciliator, Prince of Peace, Yeshua. Okay, let us read one more interesting verse from Jacob's prophecy about Judah. Let us go deeper in this prophecy. Let us open Genesis again, Genesis 49. And I would like to read again verse 10 and the next verse, verse 11. And we will look at the next verse too. So verse 10. The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come. To him will be the obedience of the peoples. And verse 11. Binding his foal to the vine, his donkey is called to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and in the blood of grapes his robe. We remember that Yeshua rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, thereby literally fulfilling Jacob's prophecy. It was the prophecy from Jacob, and he fulfilled it by going into Jerusalem in donkey. But what it mean? He washes his garments in wine and in the blood of grapes his robe. What does it mean? The fact that many Jews expected the Messiah to come as king and ruler, as the son of David, as a military leader, as Maccabee. But Yeshua came as the son of Joseph, the suffering Messiah, the Redeemer who paid for us and redeemed us with his own blood. Yeshua came as the son of Joseph a first time. So when we pray the ancient prayer, Borei Pri Hagafen, it is an ancient old prayer, we remember the fruit of the vine, the blood of the grape. The juice of the grapes has also the meaning of the blood of the earth. So in verse 11, Jacob prophetically indicates the calling of the Messiah, his redemptive mission, that he will pay the price by his own blood. So let's read about the fulfillment of this prophecy too. You would not believe me, but you would believe scriptures. Let's go in the scriptures. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, one of the most strong places of the scriptures. And I can tell you, you better be good with the Lord when you read this place of the scriptures. You better to be good with the Lord. Then I saw heavens opened, and behold, a white horse. The one riding on it is called faithful and true, and he judges makes war in righteousness. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and many royal crowns are on his head. He has a name written that no one knows except himself. He is clothed in a robe He is clothed in the robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Again, we see Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies of heaven, clothed in the fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he shall rule them with an iron rod. And he treads the winepress of the furious wrath of Elohei Tzevaot, the Lord of hosts. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Verse 13, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. We just read it about it in the verse 11, in the prophecy of Yaakov. What a powerful prophecy it is to see Yeshua coming in his glory to rule over this earth. Please, Yeshua, come sooner. And also Matthew 27, verse 35 and verse 37. I just want to read it. Matthew 27, 35, 37. And when they had crucified him, They divided his clothing among themselves by casting lots. And they sat down and kept guard over him there. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews." This is Yeshua, the King of the Jews. Glory and praise to the King of the Jews, the Messiah, who reconciled humanity with God by paying such a great price for us, his own life, shedding his blood as a sign of the new covenant with us, ultimately redeeming us from death and sin for eternal life. I have one secret for you. You and I have something to thank God for and worship Yeshua. Something so much, so important. So from today's Torah portion, we know that Joseph did not answer evil for evil to his brothers and became their savior. In the same way, despite centuries of denial and enmity from the Jewish people, Yeshua did not reject his people and is always ready to save. You know why? Because he is the conciliator and Messiah of Israel. He is the Messiah of Israel. He is our Messiah. At the end of the book of Genesis, we see that his brothers asking for forgiveness for the evil they had done to Joseph. Do you remember this verse, verse 20 and also 21 in Genesis chapter 50? I would like to read it. Genesis 50, verse 20 and 21. It says here, "Yes, you yourselves planned evil against me." He admired, "Yes, you planned evil against me. God planned it for good." As Alex said, plan B. He planned it for good. "In order to bring about what is it is this day, to preserve the lives of many people." And verse 21. "So now, don't be afraid. I myself will provide food for you and your little ones." So he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. He completely forgave them. Verse 20 says that God turned all evil into good. Through Joseph's life, of many people have been preserved. Through his life, many people have been preserved. Likewise, because some part of the Jewish people rejected Yeshua, salvation came to all the nations of the earth. Because of their salvation, their rejection, salvation came to many people on the earth. Romans 11, verse 11, I just want to read it. "But by their false step, salvation has come to the Gentiles." Verse 15. "For if their rejection leads to the reconciliation of the world..." So, their rejection leads to reconciliation of the world. We just read it in the prophecy from James. At a certain stage in human history, the Lord turned the rejection of the Messiah into good. The news of the mercy of the God of Israel spread to all nations in order to preserve the lives of many people. Many people. Once upon a time, these many people were the sons of Jacob and all the tribes of Egypt. After more than 3 millennia, all the nations of the earth have been included in this great number of saved people. When Joseph's brothers came to him in repentance, mercy was poured out on the family, just as it is now. Today, the Lord Yeshua says to his Jewish people, "So now, don't be afraid. I myself will provide food for you and your little ones." It is the words from Yeshua the Messiah to our people, to the people of Israel. Any person from any nations of the earth who puts his trust on Yeshua the Messiah can experience the love of the Lord. As Joseph said, "So he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. Let us say together, speaking kindly to them. Thank you, Brian, for pointing on this. When we come to Yeshua, His forgiveness is complete. We remember our sins. We remember our sins. And He remember no more. Once again, I want to read Matthew 11. You cannot open. I want to read it for you. Yeshua said, "Come to me who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So come to Him. The last thing today. It seems symbolic that this story ends the book of Bereshit, Genesis. This very story. The coming of the people of Israel to Yeshua will mark the end of the old history of humankind. A past filled with evil, with violence, with tears, with fears, with ignorance. As Rabbi Shaul, Apostle Paul, wrote in Romans chapter 11, "For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will acceptance be but life from the dead?" Let's say together, life from the dead. The rejection of their Messiah served to the fact that the whole world was able to be reconciled with God. And when the people of Israel accept Yeshua as their Messiah, as our Messiah, the world will not only be reconciled with God, but it will rise from the dead. The new beginning, the new life. A new history of humanity will begin. History under the rule of the great God of Israel and His Messiah. Amen. In conclusion, I want to show the key to receiving the blessing from the Lord, to the key to spiritual success. It is in one verse, verse 12, book of Genesis, chapter 48. One small verse here, very important for us. If you want to know how to come to Messiah, how to be with Him, it is here, Genesis 48, 12. "Then Joseph took them from his knees and bowed with his face down to the ground before his father. Even though his father was old and couldn't see anymore, Joseph bowed to the ground before Jacob. Despite all his power and wealth, Joseph humbled himself before his father. His heart was full of respect." And I fully believe that the culture of humility is the key to a blessing from the Lord. We need to humble ourselves and come to the Lord for His salvation, His Yeshua. Amen. So I want to pray right now. Let us stand together. I believe this prophecy is a perfect prophecy for today. We can be strong in our faith. We can build ourselves in faith. I want to pray. And if you need to come to the Lord today, if you need to receive Him in your life, or if you are outside of His perfect will, I believe this is the perfect time, perfect moment. We're still in 2021. It's the perfect moment to leave your disobedience behind you, to say to the Lord, "Lord, I want to follow You. I want to follow the Messiah. Messiah of Israel." I would like to pray. Lord, I come to You in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. I thank You, my Father, for sending Your Son for me. Thank You, Yeshua, for Your death and Your resurrection. Thank You for the great price You paid for me. Lord, I repent. I would like to make Shua. I would like to turn to You, Lord. And I would like to follow You. I thank You for Your peace, for Your shalom. I thank You, Prince of Peace. I pray to You in the name of Yeshua, my Messiah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Before we'll pray Aaron's blessing, I would like to invite Ina to share some announcements.
Shalom, Mishpacha. Thank you so much, everyone, who has this willingness to serve in Shabbat school. Thank you to every teacher. And I would like to share about our future step in Shabbat school. So, as I told that we plan to reopen in January, and we will do it step by step. But I would like to say that we are ready to reopen some classes, and we are ready to reopen class for children age from 7 till 12 years old for every Saturday. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So it will be one class, and there will be a teacher and assistant, and children will be there together for their lesson and activities. And once a month, every fourth week, we will have a youth meeting. So it will be after the worship in the synagogue, and I will share details later. And we will have for toddler, for now, only 2 weekends of the month, first and second. And for children 4 to 6 years old, also 2 weekends of the month. So, as the more teachers we will have, the more classes we will have. So please, if you're still thinking about it or praying about it, let me know. But we will reopen step by step. And let's pray for God's mercy and for His provision and for health. And I will make this announcement every Saturday because it will be step by step, but we're definitely moving in this direction in reopening. So thank you very much. And we're looking forward to see your children in Shabbat school in January.
And please remember, youth, it's 13 to 99. If you are 100 years old, you're not welcome there. So please think about it. So let us pray. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. So we will close with Aaron's blessing right now. Let's pray. Yivarecha Adonai v'ishmarecha, Yair Adonai panavelecha v'ichunecha, Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, mishpacha, and welcome to members class right now. Shabbat shalom.